Yes, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And we are always very happy to be here. We are always very happy to be, you know, communicating with you and also sharing, you know, updates, information, and also issues which are concerning our bread and butter. And yeah, it's now the time for Business and Economic Segment. I think it's the right time to thank Dwight and Helmut with their home run program. Now the mic is in my head, David Shombe. And as we are always doing, this is the platform where we talk about bread and butter issue from domestic, regional, and international affairs. And we are always trying to make sure that we simplify the conversation to that extent that everybody should feel accommodated to the conversation. Everybody should feel accommodated to the conversation because we are always, you know, trying to make sure that as long as Namibia is not where it's supposed to be, as long as Namibia is continue building, we have to make sure that we push where we can. We also need to make sure that at least we contribute to the conversation of, you know, national building, regional, and also international institutions. And the other thing that we need to look at is also that when you talk about economics, when you talk about, you know, development, these are, you know, broader concepts, because when an individual is at a village and see a road is being constructed, or the train, the railway is constructed, the person is very happy, even if that person is not operating a business which can be, you know, using this railway, even if this person is not living in a very accommodative, you know, condition, even if this person does not have clean water, does not have electricity and all those things. But now, we are trying to make sure that this conversation that we bring about, they are not only one direction conversations. They are conversation which, when you speak about development, we don't only talk about you having money. We talk about money. We talk about GDP. We talk about infrastructure, and we also talk about the ability of you know, an individual to acquire the basic human needs, and also to be happy, and also to live a fulfilling life. So that's why when we bring about this conversation, we are always trying to cut across all those conversations which are linked to what we have just you know, put on the table regarding development. And yeah, this is a platform where we accommodate you. We make sure that after we bring about a certain conversation, we make sure that you know, you air your opinion or air your view, because the good thing about the Business and Economic Segment is that we accommodate all the views, as long as those views are in line with what you are speaking about, as long as those views are also, you know, trying to advance Namibia development. And yeah, before we go to the conversation, we are always advising, and we are always telling you to say, connect with us, like our page, share our page, so that when you share the page of Eagle FM Namibia, when you like our page, you will be, you know, updated, and it will be easy for you to have access to information, because information is very important. Information cannot keep you in the dark, but information can also make sure that, you know, you make those right economic choices. So like our page, share our page on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and also other social, you know, media platforms such as Instagram. And yeah, we also have e-paper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and of course, Friday. And you get access to it. You get access to economic information. You get access to it. You get access to development information. And when you have access to the Villager newspaper, your life will be more easier, particularly when you are a researcher, particularly when you are a student, particularly when you are a business person, an entrepreneur, and a citizen who has development at heart. Your life will be easier because you get access to information, you read, interpret, and you also get access to opportunities and connect with those who are contributing either to the paper through Opinionated or either, you know, those who are interviewed or those experts who are, you know, contributing to the conversation. So apart from access to the e-paper, there is always something that we are clarifying. There's always something that we are clarifying, particularly when we speak about access to the frequency. There are those who are saying, no, Eagle FM Namibia, we are not able to see you. We are communicating with these people. You see them on our comments on Facebook or wherever. They're saying, no, why are we not hearing, hearing your frequency this side? But I want to speak this very slowly. Apart from connecting to us through, a radio frequency, there is an app. And that app, you can access to it. You can download it into your phone. When you download it into your phone, you will be able to use it. It's the same way you use WhatsApp. But the good thing about this app is that you get access to the current ongoing programs, ongoing shows, and also you also have time to go back and look at the archive, look at the podcast, those previous information. And the other thing also, when you read the Tower Post, there is online. Or you can connect with us online. Just go on Google, type in Eagle FM Namibia, or type in Eagle FM. There is a place where it's written home. Press that one. You listen to me when I'm speaking right now. And you also use that platform also to go to podcast. It's a very easy thing. It's It's a very easy thing, particularly when you listen and read. So connect with us. The world is moving very fast toward digitalization. We talk about robotics. If you read, you'll be able to realize that people are conducting, they've already started conducting surgery in different countries. A doctor can be in America operating, here in Namibia. And, you'll be able to realize to say the world is not the way it has been. Even in the past 5 years. So that's why when you talk about digitalization, first, get an app, connect, listen. You save your money, you get access to information, and your life become easy. The other one, the last one before we go to the conversation for today, is Imba app. Make sure that you download Imba app. Imba app is a simplification and a smart way of accessing your hymn book in a soft copy. It's an app that you can download. When you download it, you have access to your hymn book. Either it's a Hangano Inoshuambo, either it's Maimboriro Shierero, talk about Afrikaans, Isilozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So it's easier when you have a smartphone. It's easier when you have a laptop. It's easier. And it's also saving time and money. So let's go to a commercial break. Then we can come with direct conversation for today, and stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours, so stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapobwa Eva Tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa.
Yes, today at Business and Economic segment, we are still at an international affairs. Today we are going to talk about a little bit of international law, particularly what's happening around the world. And we're also going to look at how are these things going to affect us as a nation, and what lesson can we learn from this, from these happenings, especially we are in the time where the global system or the global institutions are not stable. Global institutions are not stable. They cannot enforce their laws because, those who have power to enforce the laws are the one who are not following the laws. Yeah, that's why today we are going to look at what have happened, particularly when Iran Parliament indicated that they passed a law which will allow them to withdraw from the treaty of non-proliferation treaty, which is a treaty that was entered into by countries in the world to make sure that they stop or prohibit further expansion of nuclear weapons or further expansion of dangerous weapons. And that treaty under the United Nations is signed, or there is around 191 member states who are part of that treaty, those who have nuclear weapons and also those who do not have nuclear weapons. And Iranian Parliament have been making a lot of bold moves, and this is part of their diplomatic tactics. But the content of the conversation that we are going to look at today is if the first world countries are not following international laws, how about the developing world? Who are these international laws made for? Because at the state level, you may be able to understand that at an international level, those of us those days, we used to think if you are the Secretary General of United Nations, it's like you have power to lead the world. But that is not what it is. Because until now, when somebody say that the state is sovereign, the president of the country is the highest political figures, even at an international level. Depends on the strength of your economy, depends on the strength of your military, and depends on the influence and the resources that you have. Now, there's a lot of international institutions. You can talk about World Bank, you can talk about IMF, United Nations, you can talk about World Health Organizations, a lot of them, a lot of international institutions. And this international institution, majority of them, were formed through, agreements, treaties, conventions, in order to make sure that, there is world peace, the global health system is stable, and also citizens are protected. But now, when you look at international laws, when you look at what have been happening, when you look at things like International Criminal Court, when you look at those who were punished by these institutions, you will be able to understand that at an international level, we are not equal. Then it's also the time that Africans, particularly the developing world, I think is the time to make sure that we must understand that we are on our own, and not really to say you defy international laws, but to make sure that whatever you do, respect your state and operate from that point. Because what have happened in the past 2 weeks, particularly those of us who follow international relations, was very interesting. It was very interesting because you have an independent state, sovereign state, Israel, sovereign state. You have Iran. Then you have somebody who was punished, not really to say punished, but there's a warrant of arrest by, you can say, the court of the world to say you did something wrong, and you need to come before the court of the world to say that. But interestingly, the same individual decided to invade another country. And when you look at the operation of these institutions, like, because when you have a treaty, when United Nations come up with a treaty of non-proliferation, treaty of, stopping countries to expand their nuclear capacity, particularly when they are making, weapons, and also to monitor those countries who have nuclear capacity, those countries who have nuclear capacities, to make sure that they use their nuclear energy for positive use, such as energy and also advancement in terms of their technology, but not for weapons of mass destruction. And maybe you may be able to ask yourself why we are in this conversation. What is very interesting is that at the center of this conversation, most of these countries who have nuclear capabilities, they use uranium. Most of these countries who have nuclear capabilities, they use uranium. And that is where you get into the picture. That is where you get into the picture. Where is uranium coming from? Who is the third largest producer of uranium in the world? It's you, Namibia. And why this thing matters to us? Why international laws matters to us? Why others are not following international laws? And what can we do as African countries? Because when you look at issues of international financial system, when you look at the way IMF, World Bank is giving financial assistance to Africa, it's completely different from how they are giving financial assistance, even material and technical advice to countries in the West. Completely different. Our rates are not the same, and we are always at a disadvantage. And I was really hoping the president of Kenya was, when he came to power, he had a lot of promises, and he was going straight, particularly to financial institutions. But what happened to him? Is he the route that we wanted to save Africa? I don't think so. So the conversation for today is why powerful nations are not following international laws, and what will happen? What will happen in this world we are living in? What will happen if Iran decided, or what will happen in the future, because they have already passed the law? They're just waiting for the final, approval. What will happen? Because when they remove themselves from that, no one is coming to monitor them, particularly the agency, which is the Atomic Energy Agency, which is an international organization, which, you know, always monitor countries with the capacity to produce nuclear power or nuclear weapons. And what is very interesting is that, you know, when you look at Namibia, is a very interesting case. I cannot give you the year, but I'm very sure when our current head of state was the Minister of International Relations, you know, there were some international investigators who came into Namibia, and this one, they came in relation to when we had good agreement with North Korea by that time. But these people were trying to find out what this North Korea is doing in Namibia. Why are you in partnership with that individual who is so involved in enhancing, you know, his capacity, particularly in terms of nuclear? And it's a very interesting case for you to go and read. But what is very interesting is that they were well handled. Just a small country like Namibia, any small movement, they sent their people, they were here. They were here, moving around and seeing all the sites. And if you have now institutions who are very, bigger countries like the US, Israel, Russia, who, yes, there is international institutions, there is international laws, but to them, it's like you can't do anything. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. What about us? Because when you look at the thinking, the philosophy of Thomas Hobbes, who is one of the thinkers of and the foundation of the constitutionalism, he indicated to say, human beings, when we are in the state of nature, you know, when you are in the state of nature, you are in a situation where there is no laws. He said, human beings, they are very competitive by nature, and they can break each other's bones to get what they want, but it's only laws that make us human beings. Because when you come up with laws, you put orders, you put procedures to say, no, this is how resources are going to be contributed. You cannot take another person's wife just like that. This is what you need to do. This is property laws. This is international laws of guiding the institutions. But when the law is no more effective, it's only one-sided, then we degenerate. Maybe the question that you need to ask yourself is that if other countries can, if the civilized world can break international laws, who are you? What do you need to do also? And what can you contribute to this? What can you contribute to this? And how are you going to navigate from that? Because some laws, they're still, you know, we can still bring them to international financial system. Some laws, they are still restricting us to expand. They are still restricting us to do business certain ways. But are these really important laws to us? And what can we do at the state? How can we navigate from this? Because you need to get me very clear, because I'm not saying you must do what they are doing, but I'm just saying we must find a strategy on how to navigate in this world of international institutions and also international laws, which are one-sided, and which everyone is doing what he or she wants. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. We are listening to Business and Economic Segment, and we are talking about Iran removing itself from the treaty that is prohibiting countries to produce nuclear weapons. And the reason being that the foreign minister of Iran, it was very clear about the reason why they are deciding to remove themselves from this treaty, because he stated that the agency which was supposed to protect them did not do anything. The agency which was supposed to protect them did not do anything. And what is very interesting is that there's a lot of contradicting views. When you have the head of the agency, which is the watchdog whether countries are producing the nuclear weapons or not, declaring that no, you have the head of Atomic Energy Agency declaring that no, Iran has no capacity or capability to, or they are not using their uranium to come up with nuclear weapons. Yes, it's understood. It's an international independent agency say that. Then you also have the head of intelligence from the US contradicting the president to say our intelligence is telling us these guys are not producing or they are not coming up with a nuclear weapon. Then you continue to bomb them, you continue to kill their people, continue to kill most effective generals of their time. What do you expect these people to do? What do you expect these people to do? And this thing that we are discussing about, it's not only about global affairs. It's, you can also see it when you compare this conversation to what is happening domestically. If you have somebody who is very powerful, you have untouchable people, somebody who is very powerful and who can bend the laws the way they want. But if that is being done by David, who does not have anything, it's the same day they are going to lock that person, that David up. But what can we learn from international law? How can we compare it with our domestic laws? And what is the necessity of respecting institutions? Because now international institutions are chaotic. They are unstable. They cannot be trusted. People are fighting. People are killing women and children in Gaza. And the Secretary General is just saying, stop killing each other, please. I condemn this. Stop killing each other. But you are the head of, intergovernmental institutions. And just say, no, stop, guys. Stop killing each other. I condemn this. Peace must come. People must come to democracy. How can the developing nations contribute to the strengthening of international institutions so that we can prevent these happenings to happen in the future? Because that is where we need to look at, because the student of laws must come and tell us. The student of international laws must come and, assist us here to say, who is breaking the laws? What does it mean? Is it necessary? What does international law mean to a developing state? Is it the same law which have been applied, or is it only to some countries? What does it mean when you are invading another country? And who is calling the shots? So it's a very interesting time to be alive. It's a very interesting time to be alive. It's also a very interesting time to look around and also do a comparative analysis with events which are happening, because these are not only international events. These are events which you are part of. These are events which can affect you anytime. And these are also events which need cross monitoring, and also a lesson to learn also. And what is the center of this? Because there is always a root cause of conflict. What is the center of this conflict? Is it military capacity, or is it trade? Because ask yourself this question. United States is a very strong army. I think they're number one in the world. We can debate about that. They have capacity, high level of technology. They can get you wherever they want to get you. But why a mighty army shot at by a very small nation, but never reply? You're shot at with maybe around 10 rockets, but you did not reply. You just say, no, let's stop and have negotiation. What was happening there? What was happening? Who wanted to block the oil, oil route, and who was benefiting from there? Because those are some of the things that you need to ask yourself. And how are these things also affecting Namibia? And what is the disadvantage of you not knowing what's happening in the world, even to your business, even to yourself, even the way you think and also reason? So, dear listeners, we have around 19 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still engage us. Let's take... Hello?
Tate Guru.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Evening, how are you?
They are talking about the mighty army.
Yeah, they said the mighty army.
They surrender, my friend.
What happened there?
They like bullying people and bullying people and bullying companies. They surrender.
What happened? There's a lot of questions.
No, there are no questions. It's just that you are just in heat and you surrender.
Oh, they don't have capacity.
Maybe their capacity is undermined. Mm-hmm. You know the misconception that we have.
Yeah.
Especially when you hear the word America. Of course, we know that they have really destroyed our countries, our Africa, they robbed us, you know.
But then
from there, they build their name.
Yeah.
And because they build their resources, their economy, using our resources and our people. By exploiting all those things. Not in the benefit of our people, actually.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then what happened is that, of course, they are strong.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of those, the reasons that I have just mentioned.
But, yes.
And therefore now they become bully and bully and bully. And people don't normally stand up because they don't want to defy the international law. So to interfere in somebody's sovereignty and territorial integrity.
Yeah.
So, no, those are, for us, we respect the law, the rule of law.
But we
respect the rule of law.
Yeah.
But then,
yeah.
There are those who feel they are above the law. And they just do what they are doing.
But do you think the UN Secretary General is very powerful to influence like bigger decisions, or is just a symbolic position?
Yeah, maybe it's a symbolic position. He can speak, and many other nations they have been speaking. Even Russia, who are so strong, and the Chinese, the China, and the North Korea, those are powerful countries.
Yeah.
They have got all the weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
But then, when they speak, do those people here? Do they adhere?
That is a question.
So then they always define the laws. Our people there, the position, the national, what?
Look, there's something that we need to analyze, né? Because look, you have this.
Then you're not stuck there.
Yes.
In front or here. Yes, so now what we are saying is that though we are maybe small in stature, and in terms of our capabilities and issues of that nature, but we are strong in terms of voice and how to influence decisions and things like that.
So voice still better.
Let's see how we convince, who is this one? Who are
these
people? The U.S., including the
Americans.
That is what voice only
sold in the
people.
So, that, but
it's time to win your share of $500,000 in Namibian dollars in prizes for Vintook beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia. On billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Yes. Hello?
Yes,
let's continue.
So what I was saying is that the people just defy the international law.
Yeah.
So for us, we are big, though we are small in structure. I want to
ask a question. You mentioned a very interesting thing to say. We managed to convince the UN that we are the sovereign, authentic, representation of Namibian people.
Yes.
Now, where are those calibers of diplomats? Because Namibia had the best diplomats. Where are those calibers of diplomats like, the Hindipo, the late Genkop, Teo Ben, and also Mekulu? Where are those? Do we still have those people in Namibia?
So, no, they are there.
Yeah.
So, even if they speak, no matter how they speak.
Yeah.
no matter how they speak.
Yeah.
They have been speaking.
Yeah.
How many? So our people went to our legal personnel.
Yeah.
They went to the minister.
Yeah.
The former minister of justice.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
went to in the petition the international court of justice.
Yeah.
So and they presented.
Yeah.
But the Israel and others. It's only now that they hit by the Iranians. And they knew that they became. They realized that they are no longer strong. Stronger as they thought.
Yeah.
So now that maybe this time around they will hear their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Our voices and the international voice and solidarity and all these things.
So you are saying the voice matter. As long as you speak, people can still listen.
Yes, because what can you do now? Do you have to now, if somebody doesn't listen and he has a permissive way, do you expect that person to now just... for us to go and retaliate and visit them. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
We need to negotiate and have settle our differences.
Yeah, but I want those the characters of diplomats to, you know, because maybe situation also force best diplomats, because when you look at like we spoke about Namibia before independence, when there were the likes of the late Geingob, Hindipa Mtenya, Theo Ben, Mekuru, when they were true diplomats and they fought that diplomatic front. But now, I don't know. Now, I don't know. Do we still have some or we need to still advance them?
Yeah, they are there.
They are there, eh?
They are there. Who are working with them.
Okay.
And the ones who are groomed.
Okay.
I know they are the depots and all these things.
Yeah.
And what about the ones, the young ones that were groomed by the Hunger Games corps and the Deepers and the Gurirab ones? And the Momonotombos and others, they are still there. And they are still passing on the thoughts of leadership. Quality and effective leadership.
But,
so what we need to have to do is to demonstrate our solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was saying the other time, I said, do we really mobilize that kind of civic engagement? And say yes. Just now demonstrate, not only when there is this, you know, I used to see the activities and all this demonstrating.
Yeah.
Can't you also now, Larry, behind the Palestinians, you know, those peace-loving countries, peace-loving countries who are really striving for peace.
Yeah.
And demonstrate to them, like they are also doing in America. They are saying, America, I mean, this is Trump.
Yeah.
Can you listen to us? Lest we boot you out of this power now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are misusing and trying to create chaos in the world.
Yeah.
So I think our voice can still speak.
Yeah.
And as we move on, Namibia is well recognized.
Yeah, yeah.
And our voice is respected. So I hope if we do that and we mobilize, organize ourselves very well, they will understand our voice.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, that is our uncle. He indicated that, you know, diplomats are still there. They are still there. However, you know, the trends of international relations change with time. Change with time. That's why the focus also change. The strategy need to change. And also, the thinking also need to change, because at a global level, depends on what you want. It's not about imitating what others are doing, because history have taught us to say, Namibia has been a force to be reckoned with, particularly, during the colonial war, when you have the likes of the late Indipo, Mekuru Kaduna, our current president, the late Geingob, you have, late Uncle Theo. Those were true diplomats of that time. And people respected our country. You know, at the United Nations, at any global fora, when you see Namibian diplomats. But now, post-colonial Namibia, things have changed. Because when you look at the white paper of 2004, you realize to say, Namibia also have to change its strategic focus. To say, we are now looking at economic development. But from there, what happened after that? After 2004, what really happened there? Yes, we still have, but what is our position? What is our position? Where are we standing? Do we need to reevaluate? What is the output? Not only about what is the output of our input at the global relations. Are we, what is the capacity of those who represent us? And all those questions that we need to ask ourselves. And how are we going to navigate this unpredictable, unstable, the world of unstable international institutions, whether it's a financial institution, political institutions, and people are aligning and realigning. And what is very interesting is that due to what have happened at the Western, you see people and countries are aligning with the Eastern Bloc. But aligning with the Eastern Bloc, look at BRICS. How many countries are there? And what is the GDP of BRICS combination together? Where is Namibia standing in this? And how are we going to navigate? Because one way or the other, we have to pick our enemy. Although we have to work with everybody, one way or the other, we are going to be caught in the fight. That's why South Africa just reconnect a little bit with USA, because at the center of global transformation, there is always something that you need to look at. That is shift your thinking and also shift your interest and also shift regarding on what you want to achieve and which people are you putting at the front line and all those very important things. So looking at the conversation for today, is this going to be a precedent? Is this war in the Middle East going to end? Because when Iran decided to pass that law, then they have a right not to be monitored. They can do what they want. They can acquire, nuclear weapon as fast as possible, because they just, they were attacked. They were attacked. And when they are out of that system, and also global analysts are also asking to say, is this thing going to be worse? Because when, who is going to follow also? Because if Iran say, no, I'm pulling out. You guys, you did not protect me. I already told you I don't have nuclear, weapons. Even you declared I don't have nuclear weapons. Even the United States head of intelligence, the main security advisor to the president said Iran does not have, but the people have to continue bombing. Then now, because international law can still be very important, they are saying no. We are now pulling out. Then when they pull out, by tomorrow they will start building nuclear bombs. And anything happen, somebody gonna be destroyed in the Middle East. And I don't want that thing to happen. And when that thing happen, it's not going to be alright. Then the question that you're asking yourself is that, what can you do as an ordinary Namibian at this point in time? Because I was interviewed one analyst and then he said, no, you may look small, but the impact that you have matters. What are these things telling us? What can we learn as Namibian citizens? And how are we going to navigate from that? And what are some of the things that we need to learn and learn? And what can we contribute to the global, to the global system? Because what is very interesting is that nobody owns anything on this earth as far as nature is concerned. And you can contribute, and just think about that. Whatever you do, you can contribute to the global, the global agenda, one way or the other, starting from where you are, at your community. Because without, people working together, we are just ordinary individuals on earth. Yeah, that's why our voice matters, as uncles have said, and, we can do our best where we can to assist, even as a developing world. But look at the precedency which have been set. The precedency which have been set. What is this telling you? Is it now the time to revise our foreign policy strategy and how we can navigate that complex and unpredictable world? So yeah, we have around 3 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Let's go to a commercial break. Then, we can finalize, but you can still engage with us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more.
Yes, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Thank you very much for your time. And yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly and Narvanda. And stay tuned. Do not forget to download your app, Nigel FM Namibia. Do not forget to download your Impa app. And also, do not forget to subscribe to the Villager newspaper. Follow us in all our social media platforms so we can be able to update you. And sorry is very important when we receive your comments. Sorry is very important when you ask questions. And it's always very important when, you know, you communicate with us. We see your comments. And it's also very important to make sure that let us subscribe. Let us download our app, Impa app. And also, Eagle FM app. You can also connect with us online, and you'll be a very good citizen who understand economic matters, citizen who can make important decisions. And yeah, from me, David Shombe, thank you very much for your time, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mtuma team. Stay tuned till next time.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager.